Hi, you've tuned in to the Lovely Travels podcast, where we talk about all things travel and adventure. My name is Emma Lovell, also known as Lovely, and I have a mission to visit every UN-recognised country in the world while raising awareness for mental health. Join me as we revisit some of my past adventures, speak to fellow travellers and interesting locals, all while following the journey to 195 countries. I'll be joined soon by my co-pilot, Darius, in Germany. And sometimes we're even going to hit the road together. Make sure to join in the adventure by following me on Instagram, Lovely Travels. You can also join our Facebook group, Lovely Travels Community, and learn more about us at the website, lovelytravels.com. But for now, it's listening time. Travel vicariously along with us.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Lovely Travels podcast. Hi, Emma.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
¿Está bien, y tú?
Muy bien, gracias.
Esta primero podcastio con lengua español.
Sí. Perhaps we should leave the Spanish to the native Spanish speaker. Who are we going to have on today?
Oh, I'm excited. Who is it, Em?
So we are speaking to Fabiola Rendon de Mexico. Viva Mexico. Yeah. Mexico, my heart country. I feel like it was my home. It's very much a part of my heart. I say mi corazón es en Mexico.
Oh.
Which I don't know if that's correct, but I like saying
is it. Because of the tacos?
The tacos are a huge part of my love of Mexico. Like, yeah, I definitely love that.
Tell me a little bit about today's guest, Emma.
Yeah, let's skip to that. Not my dislike of tequila. Sorry, I love you, but no. Fabie and I actually met. So I studied in Monterrey in the north of Mexico. I did a semester abroad and I met friends there. So I actually didn't meet Fabie when I was in Monterrey, even though we went to the same university.
Right.
But her friend Daniel saw that I was living in Melbourne in Australia, and Fabi was there learning English and working and things. And he said, oh, you know, could you hang out with my friend Fabi and kind of make her feel welcome? And we just hit it off, and she's like mi hermana. She's like a sister to me. We just had so much fun, and it was awesome to practice my Spanish with her.
Sure.
And then even cooler was that I got to go back in 2014 to Monterrey, and it was my first time visiting. I left in 2009 and got to stay with her and her family in Monterrey, and it was really special.
Well, I very much look forward to seeing how you guys got on in the podcast.
Yeah, it's we could have talked all day. So
muchos timers.
Este episode, no sé. Sí,
episodio.
Episodio. Okay, I'm going to check that with Fabi. Okay, arriba.
Arriba.
Hola, bienvenido a Lovely Travels Podcast y bienvenido Fabiola.
Hola, mucho gusto. Gracias por invitarme, Emma.
¿Cómo estás?
Muy bien, muy bien. ¿Y tú?
Sí, muy bien. And for our listeners, I will stop speaking in Spanish now, and also so I don't start speaking poorly. Hablo un poquito español porque estudié en México en 2009. So I studied in Mexico in 2009 and I learned Spanish, and then I met someone who is the friend of Fabiola, and then that's how we got to meet each other. And so we will speak English on this podcast, but welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Emma, for having me in your podcast.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know it's crazy. I mean, yes, we met thanks to Daniel.
Yes.
And you were studying with him in Monterrey, right? So you met him in Monterrey, and after that, I moved to Australia in 2013, and just like for 8 months. And he told me, like, definitely, like, obviously I was new, I didn't knew anyone, and I was just trying to figure out like where to live, places and all that. And then he just told me, like, he's a really good friend of mine, and he was like, you need to meet this girl. Like, this girl is amazing. She's a pure gold heart, and she definitely will help you with anything that you need. Yes. Which it was truth, 100%, but I never thought that it would be like a, not only a friend or not only like a reference, like a, you actually become like a, my sister. And it's, it was so, I mean, I don't know. I'm just thinking like a, that was so long time ago. And right now just having again this type of conversations and just go back to time and remember all those time with you. It was amazing. And then thank you again. Thank you again for inviting me. I know that you are fully of new projects and adventures. So I'm really happy to be part of that.
Oh, Denada. It was, yeah, it was so lovely. And you don't know, I'm always happy. I tell people all the time, you know, if someone's coming to Australia, whether you give them my phone number or, you know, or my email, ask me questions. And if possible, I'll meet them. And we were both in Melbourne. So I said, of course, I'll go and meet her. But I don't know either. Maybe we just have a coffee and we just have a chat. And then I say, oh, all the best. But no, you were like, I think we spent the whole afternoon and evening. My friend Angela was there too. Actually, Angela is the friend of Darius, who's the co-host. And yeah, we just had a crazy night. And yeah, como hermanas, como, like sisters. And I always say the same. I'm like, oh, I'm going to talking to my friend Fabi. She's, you know, she's like my sister. Some people don't understand that. And I'm like, oh, it's, yeah. It's
yeah, and I feel like it's hard to explain because it was a short time of period that we actually spent together. It was like a maybe 1-2 days, and then it was like a so this all this connection and like okay, let's do this, let's do go there, and it was just so easy going. It was nothing that make it hard or making it difficult just to spend the time together. So which I don't know. You have a big angel, like a big aura in you. So you already know that.
Oh, thank you. Well, then it was such a privilege for me because when in 2014, because you went home and then, you know, actually it's not, it feels, it felt like a long time, but it wasn't so long that the next year I got to come and visit you in Monterrey in your hometown and where, which is my Mexican hometown.
Yes. Yes, and after that, we meet again, right? Twice in LA.
Twice in LA, yeah. So it's really cool. So, yeah, so you're originally from Mexico, but now you're living in Los Angeles.
That's correct.
And so why are you in Los Angeles?
So, long story short, so I started working on this company. It's a lighting company. And then... actually, I started working after I returned from Australia. I was in that company in Monterrey, Mexico for 1.5 years, too. And then I started traveling to the United States, just like doing, working with another facility from the same company. In the last one, it was Chicago. So they get a new acquire. They just get this new facility and they invite me to a standardized process and training. It was a period of 6 months. After, I don't know, 3-4 months, they asked me if I would like to stay. So I stayed 2 years in Chicago, working, fully working in the United States. And then there was another opportunity in LA, which they also invited me. Just give me 1 second. I have one of the cats around trying to get my
drink the vino. Okay. Yeah. It's probably not good for cats.
No. He's like, what is that? And after that, so I moved to LA and now I have been 3 years in Los Angeles with the same company. So it's been like a really moving around and it's been kind of crazy try to adapt in each city. But I cannot complain. I mean, I'm still here. I like what I'm doing. And definitely there is always like new adventures trying to explore. I miss Mexico a lot. But I have the opportunity to go at least every year or for big events, I don't know, like a friend's wedding, something like that. So it's not that far. So yes. This is going back.
And LA is kind of a place where there actually is a big Mexican population.
Yes, a lot. I will say, like, honestly, a lot of people are saying, like, well, you're close to Mexico and you're not going to be struggling with the food. And don't get me wrong, my favorite food is the Mexican food. But in some way, I miss a little bit Chicago. There was, like, amazing restaurant. There was more variety, like, I don't know, pho. I remember a lot that the first time that I have, like, a real pho, it was with you. So I enjoy it a lot. And in here, yes, it's so traditional. You can find, like, there is a lot of Mexican and Latin American culture, more than the rest of the United States. But it's really predominant. Yeah. Instead, in Chicago, it was more like a mix. It was a lot of Polish. It was a lot of Mexicans. Like, it was a huge combination of different cultures. And I will say, like, I enjoy that. I enjoy meeting new people, meeting new cultures. So that's something that I really miss about Chicago, but definitely I cannot complain with LA, whether it's 100% better than Chicago.
And the food, so how do you, like, how does the food compare, the Mexican food? Do you think it's quite traditional and typical of Mexico, or do you think they've adapted the food?
They are adapting. There is not bad. Like, honestly, it's a pretty good. There's a lot of restaurants. There is a lot of small places, like they have the, I don't know how to say, like the little cars outside of the streets, and they're like a really,
like a food truck.
Yes, like a type of food trucks, which is nice. That's something that I never saw in Chicago. And it's good. I mean, it's I cannot complain. Definitely, I can find, like, all type of sauce, all type of chilies if I want to make a salsa. Like, it's funny because my dad, like, when I was in Chicago, like, oh, yes, let me bring you this salsa and let me bring you this and that. And in here, like, don't even bother. I mean, no. I have everything, or maybe I have more, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You'll find everything, and there is all type of market. So yes, definitely I don't struggle with trying to find a good restaurant or trying to find, like, a good condiments for preparing something.
So what is your favorite Mexican food?
Homemade. So it's so funny, and I don't know, I was talking with my friends about that. When I was back home, like, I was not a big fan of beans.
Yes.
Like, in general, like, a bean, even like a, no, I mean, if I'm going to get a taco, I would prefer to take a taco of meat or other thing, right? Since I moved to United States, I cannot explain you how I miss the beans. And every time that I have opportunity, like, even to get, like, a steak or getting, like, a something more, I don't know, complicated, I just, like, bring me the beans. Like, I'm a beaner. Like, I'm definitely missing the beans too much. And
like,
I don't know.
The kind of the mashed beans, or more like the whole, like the black beans?
Like the whole beans.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, back home, there, and I think, like, every family, there is always having the type of food, like, okay, there is always a lot of different things, but the rice is never going to be missed, or other things. In my house, it was the beans. So since I moved and I don't have it on daily basis, obviously it was like, okay. That's what I miss the most.
Yeah, and that's something that,
like, homemade.
It's more typical, and I think sometimes, like, people get so used to the Tex-Mex food, but, like, a real typical Mexican plate is, like, some rice, some beans, some vegetable, maybe a meat or something. But that's, like, kind of a normal dinner, right?
Yes, and, like, a quesadillas or something like that. Like, I think, like, the Tex-Mex, and I might be wrong, but it's more like the fajitas, yes, which we also have that, but it's more like a lot of cheese, like a, for everything. We also use the cheese, don't get me wrong, but it's like a cheese on top of everything.
Yeah.
just a different style. And I will say, like, if you will recognize a Tex-Mex because of the sauce. It's more like a tomato sauce.
Yes.
More like a spicy sauce. So it's more like a nachos and different.
It's fun to learn that when they go to Mexico, like what you're expecting, and even like ordering a salad. You know, I think what we picture as a salad, it comes out and it's got like mayonnaise all over it, and comes with saladas and crackers on the side. And I'm like, what? Like this, it's different to the salad that I would have at home. So it says it's the same when you translate it, it's the same, but the presentation
is different. Yes.
And the interpretation is different. And I loved it. Like, but it's just, don't go in thinking I'm going to have this. And then, cause you will get even tacos. What we thought was tacos was Tex-Mex. Tacos are completely different. And you know, there's so much variety of, you know, one, every different meat that goes into it, it gets a different name. You know, I loved the Tacos Rincon, and they had my favorite was the, oh, I'm gonna forget now. It's the, there's like a ranchera, and then there's a, starts with a G. It's like a big, looks like a big quesadilla.
Gringa.
Yes.
It was the gringa. Yes. Gringa. That, yes. It was like a big tortilla with cheese and then the arrachera. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And so like if it had, but like if it had the steak in it, it's called one thing. If it has pork in it, it's called another thing. It's called a chicken. Like,
it's like a, with tortilla all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, you had to work out which bit you got with it, but you become expert. And now I love it. We go when, you know, I was in Mexico in February, and it just like, to my husband and my friend, I'm like, just sit there. And then the guy comes over and I'm like, let me order. I'm going to have this. And I think he's like looking at this white girl like, oh, okay.
Like, but she knows what she's doing.
Yeah. And it was the best. We just got off the plane straight to this little taco place in Playa del Carmen. Like, you know, and the more basic, the better, right? Like,
yeah.
Basic table, like simple, lots of people in there. You're like, that's the one.
Yes, that's true. And for example, with my brother-in-law, he's from Spain, and it's so funny with him because right now they just moved to Spain because of his job, but they live in Mexico for 15 years. So until the last day, he was like, I don't get it. I don't get it. You're Mexicans. You put chili on everything. You put chili in the food. You put chili on the candies. You put chili on the beer. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, stop complaining. You have been here 15 years and you still like going with the same. But honestly, it's true. Like, one thing that he was saying, like, candy is supposed to be sweet, and you make it like spicy. Like,
yeah. How that's possible. Even the mango on the, you go to the beach and you buy a cup of mango or melon or something like that, and they're like, do you want to put the chili salt on top? So not only do you not make it sweet, you make it salty and spicy and sweet.
Yes. So for a lot of people, it's hard to understand it. And honestly, I don't blame them. I think that it's just part of our culture. Like, definitely something that there is a lot of candies that I have been giving to my foreign friends. And they're like, what is this? And I'm like, it's so delicious. You need to try it. Maybe you don't like it, but you need to try it and judge it by yourself. And they're like, I hate it. And then like a couple of weeks, I give them another try until like, well, it's not that bad. But yes, it's, I don't know. I will say it's quite your Germanate. What is the name of the type of peanut butter, but it's that it tastes horrible.
Oh, Vegemite. Vegemite. Yes, the black spread that we inflict upon. Yes, it's made of yeast. It's very salty and bitter, but we love it. And if we're away from home, it's the same. We're like, I need Vegemite.
Yeah, so it's something like that. I mean, it's something that is hard to explain sometimes to other people that it's. It didn't grow up with that, but
I love it. I love the cocktail. I don't know if it's got a particular name, but it's that mango cocktail, and then they do the chili salt around the top.
Like a chamoyada, chamochela?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, the beer comes with chili salt around, or I really like that. If I ever see that on the menu, I'm like, yes, that one. And a margarita comes with salt, you know.
Yes, I used to do like the one. The mango chela, that is like a kind of a mango and some sweet and spicy sauce.
I love it. So you have actually traveled quite a bit yourself, like you've done quite a bit of overseas travel, but did you travel much in Mexico?
Yes. So how do you say, like, yes, I have been traveling a lot outside. But I definitely start in Mexico. Like, I definitely start in just traveling in the country, like to the beaches and different other cities. And I love it. I think that it's amazing. It's so diverse. You can definitely find different type of people, different type of food and weather traditions. Is one place, it could be totally different to another one, which I think is pretty awesome.
Because I love that in Mexico City, if you want to, like, for the food, if you want to experience like quite a different range, I loved in Mexico City that you got all the different places of Mexico. You could taste all those different types of food, and the food that we know, it probably came from, you know, one
from the, yes,
it's typical. You know, like Oaxacan food has got quite a specific flavor, and then the south or the beaches have a different flavor, and then north.
Yeah, so you have, I mean, like a Mexican food is amazing, and you have like a lot of options, which I think is great. Talking about places, again, is unreal. You can find, and this is something that I really want to share with you, places like Gilitla. Yes. I don't know if you went there.
I did. Yes, I loved Gilitla.
And just by knowing the story, so I understand, like, every city has their own story and their own, heroes and characters and what it makes in the city. But I think, like, Gilitla has, like, this magic and unique history behind the place, and I would like to just share it with you, even if you already know it.
Yeah,
but it's so Gilitla was it's a small town in San Luis Potosí, which is full of vegetation, trees, and it's beautiful. So there was this guy, and the name was Edward James. Yeah, I think he was. He was from England. So he just received all this ton of money from one of their relatives, and he was just traveling around the world. And if you look at his biography, he's saying, like, he just spent his life having all these crazy parties, and he was like a rock star back on the time. And he was friend of Dalí. So he had like all these artistic background on his life, right? So he was traveling around Mexico until he gets into Gilitla. And he just decided, like, okay, this place is just made by God. Like, this place is so perfect. It's so pure. It's so nice that it's made with the hands of God. So he decided to stay in there, and he started building this surrealistic castle. And inside of this realistic castle, you can see all these different sculptures made by him. And there is a couple of hands that are supposed to be the hands of God. The UNESCO make it part of a national...
the heritage, yeah.
Yes. And right now it's a really touristic place. It's good if you go when it's a low season, because you are able to enjoy it. Yes. Like, you are not in a rush, and you can actually, like, stay and chill out. And when I say there is a castle, it's not the traditional castle. It's just like a big land with a lot of waterfalls and different sculptures and the random rooms. He built like he called it the stairs to heaven. So actually, there are some stairs without any hanging or anything to support your hands. So it's pretty creepy if you are afraid of heights.
Yes,
but it's beautiful. It is amazing. And honestly, I don't think that a lot of people know about this place.
No.
And in some way, I think it's good because it makes it like a more secret and it's more like a just a little place. It's amazing. It's beautiful. But like this place is, Mexico is full of other different places like you can never imagine. The other one that I really like a lot is Real de 14.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's a ghost town. And it's like you are back on time. Everything is just the same. You can go to the desert. You can go and stay in this little hostel. So it's pretty, most of people definitely, they know about Cancun. They know, and don't get me wrong, Cancun is amazing. They have these beautiful areas and places. And I know that you get married in there. It's just so magic. But sometimes I just feel there's a lot of another different places, like a secret places. And
absolutely. And it's the places that people don't picture. Like, I think when people picture Mexico, they're either picturing the desert and they think of like cactus and desert and tequila and guys in sombreros and like there's a real ranchero guys, or they're picturing Cancun.
Yes.
Like drinking margaritas and tacos or like, what's that place over the border? Tijuana.
Yeah.
And people think it's just like this crazy little like Mexican town and people just go there, get drunk. And, you know, it's like, no, Mexico has so much more. And the region that we were living in Monterrey, like it's got that deserty feel and it's got mountains. But then, yeah, you go to Xilitla and San Luis Potosí, that area is jungle and waterfall and canyons. And the same down south when you go from, if you keep heading south from Cancun, you follow the Guatemala border, you go to Palenque, it's jungles. And Los Casas de San Cristobal, like there's this canyon there and this old feeling of the colorful town. And, you know, it's, yeah, sure, go to Baja California, go to Cancun, go to Acapulco, like, but, you know, there's so much more to see. And even Mexico City, I mean, I love Mexico City myself. I think there's so much culture there. You've got the Aztec history, you've got the Catholic, when the Catholics came, and it's...
Yes, it's just, I mean, and I feel like every country, they have their own popular places, and if you are the local in another country, you will say, like, no, you're missing, like, the real thing, like, you're missing the good stuff. Like, for example, I have a lot of friends, obviously, because living here in the United States. And until they know me, they meet me and there's I have a different opinion of what was Mexico. Because every time it's oh, no, this place. And I'm trying to show them. And they're there is nothing what I expect. There is nothing what I hear about it. And in some way, I'm trying just to... motivate them to go and explore and don't go through everything that is the stereotype, because yes, there is a lot of places to explore. Obviously right now with COVID it's a little bit different, but in the future that it's we're the neighbors, so there is a lot of opportunities to go and visit, and it's amazing. I mean, there is something that I will never regret, is just traveling in Mexico, and it's something that I miss the most. So,
but it's good that you did it, because when I was there and we were studying in 2009, we were making friends with the locals, and they were, we kind of inspired some of them to go and see their own country, because they were often wanting to go outside. They wanted to go to the other foreign countries, or they would go to USA on their trips. And the school we went to, it was, people are well off, they are so they could travel. But we're like, guys, just, you have a car. Let's go to like Zacatecas, which you can get to for 4 hours or something from Monterrey. And maybe it's 7 or something. But we got a bus And we went to this town, Zacatecas, and there's a mine there. And we went to a nightclub in a mine.
Inside of the mine, yes.
Crazy. And all the old buildings, and there's like a donkey walking through the street with like this people walking behind the donkey. He's carrying the alcohol. I'm really perpetuating this drinking culture, aren't I?
Yes. So those calls callejoneadas. So like a callejoneada, it means like a street, like a walking into the streets. And what's going on is like a people is having a party, or they have like a friend, so they invite like the musicians. And because Zacatecas is so cold, they bring the donkey and they bring or either tequila or mezcal, because that's what they keep them warm. That's the excuse. But honestly, because we just love to drink tequila. but yes, it keeps us warm. So you are like just hearing the music, and then you stop. It's funny because you stop in front of the churches. So it's at night. But in front of the churches where they have like this big area. So it's so beautiful because, I don't know, if it's a wedding, they have the callejoneada, and people is just walking and in the little streets, following the musicians, following, obviously, the donkey is the most important, is the one carrying the tequila.
The little burro.
Yes, and they are just like a drinking, and then they stop, and everybody's just dancing, and then just move to another spot. And it's just a way of celebration. I mean, it's something that I really enjoy, and it's really, really traditional. It's
How really do you traditional. Say? Como se dice?
Callejoneada. Like a calle is like a street, and callejoneada is just like a keep walking on the streets.
Callejoneada. Okay, I like it. I'll get you to write it down. We'll put it in the show notes. So if you ever see one when you're there, you know what it is. But the other place I went near to Monterrey, we hired a car, and it was the Cuatro Cienegas.
Ah, yes.
So a desert.
And it's a desert.
Yeah. Beautiful, and it's got these pools, like these beautiful clear pools, and the ecosystem in that area is very unique. And it was really cool because my brother came from Australia. He was in visiting America, and he came down and visited me in Monterrey, and then we went on this road trip to Cuatro Cienegas. And for him to see like kind of a real authentic Mexico, and we stopped at little restaurants on the way, and it was really, really special to share that with him. And I don't think I got to Real de Catorce. I didn't get there. So that's on my list as well, because these were trips that we could kind of do on the weekend. They weren't too far from Monterrey. So,
yes. Other places to go, definitely the south is, well, like all Mexico, like at the north, the south, the center, like everything. It has their own specific magic places. But the south, like for example, Chiapas is just so beautiful. And
you had a wedding there recently? You were in a wedding, I think?
No, I went to San Miguel Allende. It was a wedding. But Chiapas, I went with one of my best friends, and we did like a this little tour, and San Cristóbal de las Casas is just unreal. You can go to the pyramids, and it's all jungle, and you feel like you are Angelina Jolie on Tomb Raider.
Yeah, Tomb Raider. Yes.
Yeah, I swear, it's
Lara Croft. This is the that's the Mayan section. I think is more. You get Aztec and Mayan down there, but a bit more Mayan in Chiapas, I believe.
Yes, and then in the next one is Oaxaca. That Oaxaca is so good for surfing, in case that you like to surf. And again, food, small towns, people just on the beach and doing like all this type of acrobatics with fire, and it's just hanging in there. It's really, really friendly. A lot of people, because of the surf, there's a lot of people from all different countries that they like to do surfing. Cicatela is, so in Oaxaca, there is a different areas. Cicatela, that's what I know, that is the highest waves, or like the best waves. And then Zipolite, Mazunte, Puerto Escondido is a little bit more commercial, but you have like a, if you go through all the beach, there is a ton of different towns and each one. Do you know what is funny in Oaxaca? Like each beach, it has a different color of the sand.
Yeah.
Like it, that was something like a really, really crazy, and I had never seen that before. There was Bochoco, it was a type of a black sand. And then just half an hour driving, maybe 1 hour, it was another beach that it was a Carrizalillo, and the beach and the sand was like a big one, but it was totally gold. And okay. Then you keep driving and there was white sand. And I was like, how this happen? and I don't know. Well, honestly, I don't have the answer of that. But I think that it was pretty awesome that in a really short time of period of driving, you can find like a different spot and totally unique. Like
beautiful.
Each one has their own style and their own essence of the place. So
if people are into surfing, yeah, really you need to go to the south of Mexico, because in like Cancun and Veracruz, like on the, you know, on the west coast or the east coast, like it's not as good. Even Baja, like Mazatlan, I was in Mazatlan. I don't remember the waves being very good. So if you want that real surf, it's the south is the best.
Yes. And Oaxaca has say like a Cicatela. There was a lot of people from different places because they just went for the waves. Not really experienced the area, but I think like it's the third place in the world with best waves. I know that one was like Australia. I don't know if it was Perth. The second was Cape Town in South Africa.
Yeah.
And the third and the fourth, it was Cicatela in Oaxaca. Wow. And that's from a surfer. Don't trust me.
Yeah. 100%,
that was something that somebody else told me.
No, that's cool. And Oaxaca is also like a lot of the colorful artwork that people love, that embroidery and those really bold colors like that you see on the plates, that style that comes from Oaxaca.
It's super, super traditional. And the food is amazing. The food is amazing. So one more thing, if you want to try, how do you say grillos? Do you remember the ghost puners? The one that they jump?
No, I don't know.
so silly. But the one that it's with Pinocchio, telling him the good things to do.
Oh, a grasshopper.
Yes.
Yeah, like a cricket. Yeah.
Yes, crickets.
So you say
there is a lot of they are really traditional crickets dishes in Oaxaca. So actually, that in there is the first time that I tried the crickets, and I was like, no. And I was like, okay, it's like dry fish, the small ones or like a shrimps, and it's really good. And they put in a tortilla with some cheese and some meat and the crickets on top with some chili. But it's a really good place to try the crickets.
It's actually, and the crickets are very high in protein. So they're actually really good for you. And they taste like, I don't know, just crunchy and
nutty
flavor for me. Like
the flavor was amazing. Honestly, the expectations were really, really low, and it was amazing. You were like, actually, I like it. I am enjoying it.
I love
and
it.
And you go to all these place, like a big dinner, like a kind of a market, and you can see how they're making all the food. And I don't know, it's really traditional. It's quite an experience. It's really enjoyable.
Oh, yeah, I love that part. The places I need to go that I feel like are in my head now are like, I never got to Guadalajara or Guanajuato. You know, I didn't get to Rio de Catorce, and I didn't get to Tabasco is a place, right?
Yes.
Yes. And I love Tabasco sauce. So I feel like I want to go there. And I think one of my friends from university, a lot of the places we heard about, because, you know, like when people go to university, they come from all over the country. So we had all these different students from all over Mexico, and then we were international students from all over the world. So I learned about all these places, and you know, we just ran out of time, and I was there for 4 or 5 months and still I mean, I had to study, so at some point. But it's the diversity. People do not realize the diversity in the traditions and the food and the music and the clothing, even the different style of clothing. The language doesn't change much, though, right? It's just slang.
The slangs, yes. I had quite a problem with my parents are from Zacatecas, but I live in Monterrey. So my accent is kind of a strong. So every time that I was just visiting friends, I was like, okay, let's go and do this. And I was like, okay, chill out. Why you're mad? And I was like, no, I'm not angry. Like, I just, like, move on. And seriously, I'm not angry. So yes, you can feel like each city has same language, different accents, different slangs. So sometimes it's hard to even understand a little bit. No big deal. But it's funny. Being in the same country is sometimes hard to understand each other but with the slang.
Yeah, my friend was from Juarez in Chihuahua. And my gosh, he would send me messages and I would say to someone like, can you help me? Maybe it's my Spanish. And he's like, that's not Spanish. I don't know what he's saying. He would say this to me. I'm just like, I learned all these, you know, que mami, like no mami's way. Que mama. It's just like slang words that I picked up and then you say to somebody else and they're like, or they go, oh, you definitely were in Mexico. When I'm speaking to someone who's a different Spanish speaker, they're like, oh, I can hear that you were, you learn your
language. Like, you get all the slangs, definitely. The el güey, like, it's something like I say, like, hey, bro, hey, dude, like, yeah, all way. The time.
So it's G-U-E-Y, and you go, hola, güey, like, que onda, güey? Like, what's happening?
Yes.
Brother, like, my friend. No. That's a fun one. Are there any phrases you think that people should know that would help them?
Not really in the top of my head.
You know what someone taught me that I always remembered? It was actually, I learned it in Spain, but it helps in Mexico too. No me molestes.
Well, yes, definitely.
Especially as a woman. But I say it nicely, but it means don't bother me. And, you know, maybe in the market it helps as well. Like, don't leave me alone. It, you know, you can say it a nice way, but I like it. Don't bother me.
Don't bother me. No me molestes. Yes, I think that's a good one. Definitely. I think it's really important to know, like, where is the restroom? ¿Dónde está el baño?
Yes.
That's something that definitely you don't want to miss. But, yes, una cerveza.
Yeah, everybody says, yeah, my husband can say, dos cerveza, por favor.
Two.
Yeah, always two, not one. So you don't need to say una cerveza, you need to say dos cervezas. But also, you know, it's quite a easy one and people, I think Spanish can be easy because it's phonetic. So if you read it, the accent can be harder. But, you know, it's very polite to go and to say hola, gracias, you know, asking for the bill, those sorts of things. People, I found they were very, and the English level when you go to those smaller places is low. So if you have a little bit of Spanish, it helps.
Yes, and how do you say, like, English speakers is really, really low. So when they see that you're trying, people is really, really humble. And even if they don't get a word of what you're saying, trust me, they will try to figure out. They will ask, they will try to, okay, what do you need? They will bring you a paper and a pen, and that's the way that people it is. So I think that that's a really good thing about people in Mexico and
oh, they are so much. Matthew has come with me twice now and he's like amazed by people are so happy to speak their their own language. So yeah, of course, especially in Cancun and place like that, they've learned English. Because they have to, but you're in their country, you know, you feel comfortable to speak your language. So they were always so happy that I was speaking Spanish and so helpful because, you know, like you're trying and it feels more comfortable. So if you can learn a little bit, it's just so nice. And honestly, the people will be so grateful and the comedy.
They will scold you more.
Yeah. Yeah. I had one man actually, we were in Chetumal, we were getting the ferry. And he's funny because I can tell when what happens is he can see that obviously I'm white and I'm speaking to him in Spanish. And I'm asking questions about the car park and I keep asking in Spanish and he's answering me in English and he's being quite stern and answering me in English. And I keep saying to him in Spanish, asking the questions. We confirm I'm going to go and use the car park and everything. And then I realized that his English, he must have had those set phrases of the car park costs this much, it's open this time. He's used to answering those questions and then his English must have run out. And then he started to speak Spanish with me. So he was trying to tell, then he was telling me all about, it's a very windy day. I hope the ferry isn't too windy for you. And where are you going? And that was all in Spanish afterwards. And it was quite sweet because he's like, okay, she's okay. She can, yeah. And then he was so helpful and he's like, make sure you go here and there. But at first he's like, just you park here and this is how much. And
no, and exactly. And that's my thing. Like when people actually see that you're trying and you're trying to embrace the culture and it's like a living the experience, they will give you like all these little tips that will save you a lot of time. They will save you a lot of money because they know, like they're the locals, right? And when they see that you are trying to just interact in a good way with people, and I don't think that that's only in Mexico. I think like in general, with anyone, anywhere, like when you show some interest and respect and friendly way, you will receive the same. It's universal.
I must say, like something to expect in Mexico and for a warning is it's quite a bureaucratic country. So there's sometimes there's a lot of rules. And sometimes when you're dealing with people like when we were buying our ticket for the ferry, they can be, and the immigration in the airport and things, they can be quite strict and there can be a lot of rules. So it's good to maybe when you're doing that sort of travel to maybe understand, and you might not experience it because you're Mexican, but yeah, I think sometimes things can be a little confusing. So if you can, you should research before you go when you're doing some of those big things like a ferry or going through the airport. It helps to have an understanding because there just seems to be a lot of rules that you miss.
Yeah. No, and the other thing, like, for example, and again, I think like this will apply in every country, but if you have the opportunity to travel with a local, you will enjoy more just because what you're saying, like the local, we know what's going on, the rules, and you can just actually chill out and enjoy.
Yes.
I will say, like, that will be my biggest recommendation, just to be sure that you don't need to worry on those little details and like, I don't know, we cannot go to this freeway because we need to pay something, and it's actually, you need to take another one. If you don't have any local traveling with you, yes, do your research how you will be doing to any other place.
I just don't want people to have you don't want to have a bad taste in your mouth because of some experience. It's just a confusion, it's a miscommunication, and sometimes things aren't so clear. So maybe asking some more, if you don't know and you haven't done, ask some more questions, make sure you're very clear on what is required. You know, like we didn't even know that we needed money to pay. Like we luckily had enough money, but like we got there and then we found out there's like an extra tax and then there wasn't an ATM there. And so I was like, if you're getting the ferry from that place, you should really make sure you have cash because you're going to have to pay this tax. Yeah. So just little things like that.
Yes. And honestly, and I'm not proud to say this, but for example, as we talked before, there is a lot of people with really low level of English. So unfortunately, when we don't understand something, it's like, oh, yes, 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 yes. And we say yes for everything, when actually like the answer is different, right? Mm. So it's really important that, as you say, make the questions, even if somebody already give you the answer, just like a double
check. Yeah.
Check. It's like, okay, so you are telling me that we're going to take this point to this point, and I don't know if it's possible, make them repeat, just to make sure that the instructions that they're giving to you or whatever you think that you understand is
clear.
It's clear, because when you don't speak the language, you're with someone like speaking so fast, like, oh, yes.
And I find that the people in Mexico, they wanted to help sometimes. So you ask them a question, and even if they didn't know the answer, ask for direction. And it happened in Monterrey one time. I ended up going in a big square. I asked three people. They didn't know, but they wanted to help me. So they gave me the wrong direction, actually. or they say, yes, you know, I'm going this right way. Yes, you are. And I don't know.
Yes, and it's frustrating. I mean, and I totally understand. You were like, what the heck? Like a three times.
Yeah. But when I came to understand that, it's like, you have to let it go, and you go, okay, then it's going to take me a little longer. Or we have to ask some more questions, like, tranquilax, like, relax, tranquilo, like, just take it easy and be patient, because there's so much, it's such a wonderful place to travel. But, yeah, it's just a little different.
Yes, and definitely. I'd say, like, if you had opportunity to be with a local or even to have someone to talk and ask questions, do it. So I will use you like a bridge. If somebody needs like a help with Mexican contacts, and you know Emma will contact me, and we definitely will find you someone.
Yes.
But it's go to Mexico. Don't
be scared. So many people, when I was going to Mexico and I said I was going there for study, they were like scared for me and worried for me. And unfortunately, there's been some horrible stories of things, but there's horrible stories of things in many places. And my mostly experience in Mexico is I felt so safe. I felt so comfortable. And if something felt like it wasn't right, then I stayed away from it, you know. And there was a horrible thing, some Australian guys got into trouble, but they drove through an area that was known as a dangerous area, and they went on the road trip through that place, you know. And it's like, if you're given that information, you should take that information. We were even told that sometimes when we were there. They said, don't go to the shopping malls this weekend, there's some problem. So we didn't go to the shopping mall that weekend, you know. It's fine.
Yes. No. And how do you say, like, I think that in every place there is going to be safety or any problems in general, making sure that you do your research, don't be in the wrong places on the wrong time. Like, just be where you should be. Don't get into places that are not recommended, and try to avoid those situations that might put you in a bad spot.
Yeah.
And the rest should be fine. I mean,
yeah, I don't want people to ever feel scared to, it's such a beautiful country and beautiful people. And there is a drug problem. The narcos, that is a situation, but so many places it's not an issue, and they're dealing, you know, over they're having their trouble over there, not near you. So I traveled to so many places, I never encountered trouble.
No, and the other thing is, and that's something that is a reality. Like, we are the bridge with United States and Latin America. So obviously, as I say, like, we're the bridge, and everything that doesn't is not able to cross to United States, it will stay in Mexico. So yes, I'm not going to deny that it's a big issue, but I say, like, that's a business. That's what professionals working on that and doing their things, not only in Mexico, is a problem across the continent. As a tourist, making sure that you are in a safe area, don't go to places that should not be going. And once again, like, my recommendation, if you can have a contact, even not traveling with you, but someone to call, just making sure that you can understand. And if you have any type of issue, like, you are not really clear of what to do, just give a call. That will make
exactly.
a big difference.
And it's easy to, you don't need to worry. Like, I got to Mexico City. I arrived to Mexico City at 1 a.m. on New Year's Day, you know, and Mexico City is like huge city, and I was right in the center, and I went to my hostel, and straight away I met the nice reception man, and he, you know, I said, oh, it's my first time, you know, can you give me some recommendations and things? And he ended up like hanging out with me a couple times and telling me tips, and there were tours that I did from the hostel so that I felt safe with other people. And I really loved Mexico City. I felt comfortable and safe. I got the metro by myself, like, because I knew I had been told what to do. And then, you know, even the time I came to visit you, from the time I get in the country, I'm calling my friend, I'm texting my friend and saying, this is where I am. And if I have any problem, I'll tell you. You know, if I was struggling a little, I didn't understand, I would call you and say, can you talk to the person?
Exactly. And that's my thing. Like right now, we can just solve problems with a call, right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, you know what? I'm struggling. I don't know. I really don't understand the accent, or I don't know what I'm trying to say. Like, you just call a friend and they will help you, and boom, like ready to go. So
muy fácil.
I feel like those are the little details that definitely, again, in every country, it will make the difference. It will avoid you like a bad experience, and it's just going to let you to keep enjoying what you're experiencing and exploring a new place and a new culture and a new food, which is amazing.
Yes. And so what's your time of year? When would you recommend to visit? Time of year you like?
I think it depends where you're going.
Yeah.
Like in general, like if you go to the beach in general, for me, like a summer is too hot, and I'm Mexican. It's too hot and too expensive. Same. But if you go, like, for example, in September, October, November, the weather is not that bad. It's still like, maybe on the 25.
See.
The water is not cold, and it's more like less people, less crowd. Maybe you won't have like all these shiny days, but it's worth it just to make sure that you have the beach by yourself. There is no people around. But it depends. Obviously, it depends what you want.
Yeah.
If you go, for example, to the center, there is Zacatecas, Guanajuato, cold places. Don't go on winter. Go on summer, because it can be really, really cold.
Yeah. I got a little cold we arrived in January, and the nights were cold. Days were fine, but the nights, because it is more deserty time climate, it dropped down.
Yes. In Monterrey, again, summer can be chaotic, like 45 degrees. Now that I'm having living, and maybe I'm gonna be like overreacting, but for example, when I was living in Chicago and I went to for summer, I couldn't breathe. It was so hot, and I made that one like, you are such a baby. Like, you are living like you just left 2 years, and now you're saying that you cannot breathe. And I was like, I swear for God, like the. It's really hot, and now that you get used to a different weather, going back, kind of hard. So for someone that is new, I won't recommend like a July, August, but the rest of the year is amazing.
Yeah, I was, because I came to visit in July, and your sister and I, we went to Cerro de la Silla, and we had to climb, so it's this mountain, it's called like the Saddle Mountain. Beautiful. It looks over the whole of Monterrey. It's amazing. But we went to climb it, and we had to do it in the afternoon, in the evening, because otherwise the day was too hot.
Yes. And it's hard to just bring in like the water and bring in like it's just better go by night or like in the afternoon. So as I said, like, it depends where you want to go. It depends what are your plans. And again, do your research, making sure that you can explore and be a little bit adventurous, but if you want to enjoy and have a good time, just make sure that surprises are not around and then have a bad experience, right?
Yeah. Oh, mil gracias. I miss Mexico. Te extraño Mexico mucho. And te extrañamos. I miss you so much, too much. I'm so fortunate to have seen you. Yeah, as you said, Australia and Mexico and USA. And but we should be back in Mexico together, I think.
Definitely. And I'm so happy again. I feel so blessed to have you in my life, and I really enjoy. I'm really happy to be part of your project. So thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for sharing this with me. And I'm so happy for you, for everything. And I really hope to see you again. I miss you and I love you a lot.
Muchas gracias. Besos, besos, besos.
Well, thank you for that, Emma. How was it? Now, was it as good for you as it was for me?
It was excelente.
Sí, muy excelente.
No, super fun. Just the only problem is I want to go back right now. I would live in Mexico again in a heartbeat.
Isn't there a cheese called Monterrey cheese?
Yes, but... It's Monterey Jack, and it's actually more like the American, really super yellow cheese.
Oh, like Kraft Singles?
Yeah, and there's Monterey in California too, Monterey Bay, yeah, up in California. There's Monterey in Sydney too.
Okay, let's get back to our lovely guest, Fabiola. Is she on the social medias?
She is a bit, so I'll put her links in the show notes so you can connect with her and see some of her travels. She's not just from Mexico. She loves her travel as well, so makes a very good traveler.
Nice.
Yeah, but make sure to connect with us on the socials. And if you are a listener and you have some stories to share and you'd like to have a chat with Darius and I, then please send us an email, info@lovelytravels.com. Head over to our Facebook page, Lovely Travels, our Facebook group, which I have changed the name. I'll just let you know. It's Lovely Travels Community. Just to differentiate between the page and the group, I just wanted to make sure. It's probably more for my convenience rather than yours. But anyway, type in Lovely Travels. You'll find either one of them. And then, of course, we've got Instagram, Lovely Travels, and our website. Guess what? It's Lovely Travels. So original.
So catchy, though. It's about repetition.
But it's funny when I talk to people about the podcast, they'll go, oh, what's your podcast called? I say it's called Lovely Travels. I'm lovely and I travels.
And I travel. Very good.
It's like, oh, but then everyone's like, I can't find it. And I'm like, so, you know, you guys are here listening. So well done, bravo, you found it. But
congratulations.
Make it clear that it's LOVELLY.
Yep. So if you're telling your friends, make sure you remember to tell them that there's a double L in there.
Yes. Okay. We will catch you guys next time. And we have more, you know, this is like a follow-on from our elopement episode, which was in Mexico. And we've got another Mexico-related episode coming up soon with a very special guest.
We're in the middle of a fiesta and you're all invited.
A Mexican fiesta. It's perfecto. So come back, enjoy again. And in the meantime, eat all the tacos.
Hasta la vista.
Baby.